Chapter 7. We throttled up to race off down the highway, but the giant dinosaur leapt out of its nesting spot with a terrifying speed and lunged into our path. The ground shook as the Spinosaurus hit the road, and it stumbled on impact and let out an earth-shattering roar. All of our brakes screeched to a stop.
"It jumped in our way instead of straight onto us!"
Becca yelled.
"What the hell?"
"Up the side streets!" I hollered, and we turned sharply away from the huge beast. The dino raced forward and lunged again, and it managed to lumber its massive body right in front of us while the long tail swung around and barely missed Haywan as she skidded to a halt. The dino bared its razor-sharp teeth as it blocked the side street into the town center. Once again, the four of us struggled to get turned back around, and the thuds of the Spinosaurus rang out behind us as it barreled after.
"We need to get away from the nest!"
Cat yelled. "There's enough of us to hurt it!" I hollered. "Becca, Haywan, can you guys try and divert its attention so me and Cat can shoot?"
"We can try!"
Becca shouted behind me as we raced back onto the main coastal road.
"Let's go toward the nest,"
Haywan said.
"It will follow us over to them if we go near the eggs."
"Oh, fuck!"
Becca groaned as the dino screamed.
"Fine! Jason and Cat better blow its bloody head off before I piss myself, though!"
"Jason!"
Cat suddenly yelled from the window of her Jeep.
"There's another side street coming up. If we go there, the girls can take over as a distraction."
"Got it!" I nodded, and I looked in my side mirror to see the huge predator storming along behind us. It shook the road with every step, and as its tail knocked into houses and signposts, Haywan and Becca started to yell as they sped up and overtook me. Cat's Jeep swerved sharply to the left into a narrow street, and I followed behind her. We sped down the short length of road and drove behind the nearest building to shield ourselves from view as the dino thundered past. "It worked," I said, as the creature tore off after the girls, and it didn't even try to follow our scent.
"Let's go. We'll need to stick to rifles. It's too risky to use grenades with Becca and Haywan so close to it."
"Agreed,"
Cat nodded.
"Let's go put a dozen bullets in its fucking skull. We're going to need its focus kept on the girls for as long as possible."
We drove back down the narrow side street, and the enormous tail end of the dino lumbered ahead of us. The curly-haired soldier grabbed the radio from her belt and held the steering wheel with one hand.
"You guys need to be as noisy as possible,"
she yelled into the device.
"We're coming in hot behind you, but we need a clear shot with no fangs coming after us. Over."
I heard the girls start to yell various forms of abuse at the dino, and it was hard not to laugh hearing Becca's well-bred English accent scream out that the dinosaur was a heaping arsehole. They circled back and sped a wide perimeter around the beast on their bikes. And as it tried to lunge after them, the beast toppled to the street. The ground shook once more, but the girls were speeding off again. And as Haywan ordered the Spinosaurus to get up off its fat ass, I saw our chance to shoot. I skidded to a halt as Cat hit the brakes at the exact same time, and I grabbed my SA-80 and took aim at the reptile's skull. "Ready?" I asked Cat, who leaned out of her Jeep with her rifle.
"Fire!"
the corporal said, and we both shot at the Spinosaurus in unison. The dino's movements meant that we didn't hit the center of the skull, but we both managed to get our bullets lodged into the side of the head. The Spinosaurus screeched and whipped its head around to find its attackers as blood and shredded dino skin flayed from the side of its face.
"Oi! Scarface!"
Haywan shouted as she sped around the dino's feet.
"Look over here, you bloody piece of shit!"
Both me and Cat wasted no time in taking another few shots, and our second attempts hit the beast in the neck. The wounds spurted with blood, and the dino looked unsure on its feet as it roared and took a lumbering step toward us. Becca sped over as close to the beach as she could get, and that seemed to work in catching the dinosaur's attention. The blonde Brit was dangerously close to the nest. The Spinosaurus roared with a vengeance, and I took the opportunity to drive slightly closer before I propped up my rifle again.
"We've almost got it!"
Cat hollered over the report of my weapon, and I fired two bullets right into the dino's chest. Now, blood oozed out onto the concrete from the dino's many wounds. Haywan and Becca slowed their bikes and looked back from down the road, but the dino seemed disoriented and unfocused on any of us. Its long tail thrashed around, and it swayed on the spot with a dull groan.
"Guys,"
Haywan's voice said over the radio as she hit the brakes,
"can you hear something?"
"Jason, behind you!"
Becca shrieked, and I whipped my head around to see a second Spinosaurus pelt down the road toward us at full speed. The ground shuddered as signposts rattled loose from the shop fronts, and I realized the injured dino we'd just filled with bullets had a boyfriend in town. Or a girlfriend. Didn't make much of a fucking difference. This one was just as pissed off and slightly bigger.
Holy shit!
Cat screamed.
We're too close to the nest! We need to get further into town!
The first dinosaur roared, and the incoming giant spoke back as if they were making a plan. Go, go, go! I shouted to Haywan and Becca, who were still a good few meters beyond the first dino. Up into the town! We all revved our engines and shot up various side streets to leave the main road and the injured dino behind. And for a few fleeting seconds, I thought the second one would choose its dying mate over revenge. I was wrong. The new Spinosaurus sounded heavier than the first as its massive clawed hind legs pounded the road and raced after us. Haywan and Becca joined me and Cat as I led the way past hotels and drove into the maze of buildings. The jeep tore through the streets while we tried to avoid all the debris in the road, but I heard Cat crunch over a couple bodies along the way.
He might decide to go back to the nest,
Haywan desperately yelled.
It won't follow much further. Yeah, that'll be the fucking day,
Becca screeched back. The dino had taken a different side street from us on the left, and as we heard a second set of footsteps, we realized the injured one had also started to follow again. Shit. The injured Spinosaurus was roaring from our right side, which meant we were blocked in on both sides now. Shit, shit.
They're surrounding us,
Cat yelled through her radio.
They're catching up, Jason. Over.
Fuck, I growled as I wove around an abandoned car. The echo of the massive footsteps rang out over the town, and both creatures roared in unison as they became almost adjacent with our group. I glanced up at the hotels around us and saw that at least two had little seated areas on the rooftop. I grabbed my radio from my belt. Those buildings have flat roofs, I shouted into the device. If we can get up there, we could aim right for their face. Hey, Juan, you've got the fastest bike. Do you think you could slip away and get up there? Over.
I think so.
The raven-haired girl nodded on my right.
We'll need to double back. If we change direction suddenly, that'll stall them for a moment,
Becca hollered.
They'll need a second to turn their fat asses around and catch up again.
The two dinos were almost parallel to us, and I could see the top of their snouts every time we passed a gap in the buildings. If we turned and headed back for the hotels, they could even trip up trying to keep the pace. I'll take a hotel to the right, I decided. Hey, Juan, you take the left. Cat and Becca, can you guys keep them around the area without getting caught? Over.
Hell yeah.
Cat's voice crackled through the radio.
We've got this, right, Becca? Over. Sir, yes, sir!
The blonde Brit whooped.
You heard the corporal, troops. Get ready to turn back. Don't ever say that again,
the soldier laughed.
Over. But it's fun!
On the count of three! One, two, three! We all braked and skidded our vehicles around in almost perfect unison, and Cat's jeep barreled up over the sidewalk before we sped off back down toward the beach. The two dinos kept running for a good 30 seconds before they realized we had disappeared. They roared in fury, and I glanced back to see their lumbering bodies turning back above the lower shop roofs. Haywan quickly veered off into the broken-down doorway of a hotel to the left, and I saw my chance on the next block as a pale yellow hotel with a smashed ground-floor window came into view. I sped over to the building as Cat and Becca carried on down the road, and I waited to see if the dinos followed. Both Spinosauruses kept running with the two girls in the road between them, and I took the chance to jump off my bike and clamber in through the empty window pane.
You guys better move fast,
Cat said over the radio.
Let us know when you're up top, and we'll bring them your way. Over.
I looked around the hotel lobby with my rifle clutched in hand. The hotel floor was a beige carpet with several dark stains and smashed glass. There was a set of stairs next to the elevators, and with a quick glance at the empty reception desk, I raced to the stairs and started to take them two at a time. On the first floor, I did a quick check of the eerily quiet landing before I raced up the second set of stairs. It was an intense leg workout, but the adrenaline running through me kept me fueled as I hit the second floor. There was a suitcase with the contents spilled out at the top of the staircase, and I could see a couple of the bedroom doors were open down the hall. In such a large building, I knew it was unlikely I was completely alone, so I sprinted toward the steps to the third floor before anything else realized I was here. The third floor was the highest, and as my feet landed on the corridor landing, I looked around for access to the roof. I heard the dino's roar outside, and I clocked a sturdy metal door with a sign which read, "Rooftop Bar, Customers Only." I sprinted over to the door and pushed down the handle, but the damn thing was locked. There wasn't even a keyhole on it. "Shit," I muttered, as I tried again to no avail. Then I saw a small black box next to the door, and I realized it must be a keycard scanner. I looked around the corridor and saw multiple doors were open. I carefully stepped toward the closest bedroom on my right, and I peered around the entrance. The room was essentially empty, with a lone pair of boots left by the bedside. It looked like whoever had been there had managed to pack up pretty well before they left. I stepped inside and quickly pulled open the bedside drawers in search of a keycard, but there was nothing in them other than a Bible and a packet of tissues. I ran back into the corridor, and the light above flickered as I raced into the next unlocked room. I immediately gagged as I pushed the door open, and the stench of rotting flesh hit my nostrils. There was the body of a suited man on the bed, and a mostly empty bottle of pills beside him. "God damn it," I muttered, as I covered my nose with my jacket sleeve and stepped toward the bed. I tried not to look too closely at the man's decaying face, and I stuffed a hand into his chest pocket. My hand clasped around the plastic keycard, and I pulled it out quickly before I accidentally touched anything else. I felt a pang of sadness as I paused and glanced at the empty pill bottle. Then I grabbed the white sheet and placed it over his face and body. 2 seconds later, I was leaping out of the room with the keycard in hand, and I slammed it against the black scanner. As the machine flashed green, I threw the metal door open, and a mild chill washed over me along with the bright sunlight. Both Spinosauruses were in view over the tops of the buildings ahead, and I raced across the roof to work out the best shooting position. "I'm on the roof," I said into my radio, as I pushed down on the button at my hip. "Hey, Juan, where you at? Over." There was a loud crash to my left, and I looked over the road to see a chair smash through a top-floor window at the roof of the hotel across the street. Then Hei-Wan climbed out and onto the roof, and she gave me a thumbs up.
"No fucking keycard!"
the Korean yelled across the road. I smirked and nodded back, and we both crouched down at the edge of our rooftops. There was a small ledge that I could kneel behind and rest my rifle on, and it would be the perfect height to get a good shot at the dino's heads.
"We are in position. Over,"
Hei-Wan said over the radio, and I could see the two dinos speed after Kat and Becca near the beach. My heart was in my throat as I waited for them to lead the dinos in my direction, and I felt a cold sweat prickle across my skin as the radio stayed silent. The injured dino was slower than the second, but they both were still so huge that even a graze of a massive claw could cost us all a limb. I could hear the engines of the motorcycle and jeep, and all I could do was wait with my finger on the trigger as the girls on the ground tried to lead the dinos our way.
"They're coming! Over!"
Hei-Wan shouted from the radio, and I saw the dinos turn with a pair of blistering roars. The injured one must have lost a lot of blood, and it stood and swayed over on the main road as the girls drove up the side streets. Becca's motorbike raced past me on the road below, and the hotel shook as the second Spinosaurus approached from another street. I heard a gunshot, and I knew Kat must have hung back to finish off the injured dino while she had the chance. She must have hit her mark, too, because there was an almighty crash as a dead Spinosaurus fell onto the main road. The second dino was almost level with the hotel roofs from one street over, and it hadn't spotted me or Hei-Wan as we crouched behind our ledges. I could see her shuffle to the front corner of her roof across the street, and I did the same so I'd be ready to hit the Spinosaurus as it ran toward the middle of our block. Becca disappeared from sight on her bike, and the huge dino raced after her. When it appeared in full view, I knew my aim had to be perfect, and I focused with a deep breath as the head came between me and Hei-Wan.
"Now!"
I yelled and pulled the trigger. A split second later, Hei-Wan did the same, and in a matter of seconds, the dinosaur had a melee of bullets in either side of its skull. It never saw us coming. The Spinosaurus's dark eyes rolled back in its head as our gunfire ceased, and it managed a pained cry as it started to stumble. The sound of its fury tore at my eardrums, but the dino seemed determined to kill us before it died. The beast smashed its tail into the front of the hotel I was above, and it stomped a massive clawed foot as it roared once more. Becca and her motorcycle reappeared at the corner below, and the blonde Brit positioned herself so she could take a final shot. I fired another 2 bullets into its neck, and Haywan did the same as Becca put a couple holes in the dino's stomach. Then Haywan jumped up onto the ledge of her hotel to aim straight down, and she shot the swaying creature in the back of the head. The Spinosaurus wobbled, and for a moment I thought it would drop, but then the dino took an unexpected lunge as it fell toward the ground, and it was aiming right for Becca. "Becca!" I screamed. Becca shrieked and fumbled to loop her rifle on her back, and she throttled her motorbike up as quickly as she could, but she only got a few feet away. The Spinosaurus collapsed right behind her, and it brought a huge taloned arm down on top of her. "No!" I gasped, and raced over to the roof door before the dino had fully hit the ground. The hotel shook as I flung myself into the corridor and down the stairs. My palms were drenched with sweat as I hurtled down the stairs 3 at a time, and I didn't even stop to check the floors were clear as I passed each one. My only thought was of Becca. The huge Spinosaurus had fallen right on top of her, and he was too fucking heavy for her to survive. Images of her crushed and bleeding across the concrete flashed through my mind, and my entire body went numb as I forced my legs to keep running. My throat closed up, and my lungs refused to fill with a full breath, and rage like I'd never known surged through me. We were so close to Ravenscar, and so close to getting to Becca's mom. She was my love, and there was no other option apart from her being here with me through every crazy second of this fucking apocalypse. But all it took was one dinosaur to end it all for us. When I got to the ground floor lobby, I sprinted over to the broken window and jumped out, and I didn't even bother to avoid the jagged edges. A few shards caught on my legs and arms, but I hardly noticed. I pelted past my bike and around the corner to where the massive blood-covered dino laid. Cat had got there first, and her jeep still had the engine running as the soldier grabbed the enormous claws. I could already see the blood on the concrete, and I gasped for a breath to keep from passing out.
"You stupid fucking dino!"
Becca yelled.
"You bleeding piece of shit! That hurt!"
"Holy shit!" I croaked, and I almost fainted with relief at the sound of her seriously blistering voice. The blonde Brit was fully conscious and pinned under the palm of the dinosaur with her bike toppled a couple of feet away, but a puddle of blood was under her. It wasn't just dino blood down there. The claw had ripped Becca's leg open, and her entire left calf was dripping bright red. "Shit!" I growled, and dove beside her as Cat hauled the dino's massive claw up by a few feet.
"Get her!"
the corporal grunted. I grabbed Becca in a firearms hold and pulled her out from under the beast, and Haywan raced over from her hotel and gasped when she saw our lover's leg.
"Becca!"
the Korean cried.
"Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine,"
the Brit croaked, but her eyes were welling with tears.
"Ugly cunt just got my leg a bit."
I gently sat Becca down on the sidewalk while I kept her propped against me, and Cat dropped the dino hand and hurried over to join us.
"It's bad,"
Cat said.
"That's an incredibly deep wound, and it needs proper cleaning and stitches right now."
"Becca?" I asked, and cupped her tear-streaked cheek in my hand. "You're going to be okay, all right? We'll fix this, I promise."
"It's so fucking sore,"
Becca whimpered up at me.
"It feels like my whole leg is on fire, and this big-ass dinosaur can go to hell."
"He's on his way there," I assured her, and I buried a dozen kisses in her blonde hair.
"Can we stitch this ourselves?"
Haywan asked as she squeezed Becca's hand.
"I can do stitches,"
Kat said.
"But we don't have any equipment. Matthew only gave us bandages and alcohol. She needs a hospital, or somewhere with properly sterilized medical supplies."
The concrete under us was already stained with blood from Becca's leg, and the beautiful blonde started to feel limp in my arms as her eyelids fluttered heavily.
"I hate that dino,"
Becca slurred.
"I hate that dino, too!"
Haywan screeched, and she jumped up so she could run over and plant a sturdy Doc Martin boot in the dead Spinosaurus's eye.
"Fuck you!"
"Everyone stay calm," I tried, even though seeing the dino's eyeballs splatter apart did make me feel better. "We need to bandage this leg up and get to the nearest hospital. Haywan, get the supplies from the jeep. Cat, help me lift her in. She's going to have to ride with you." Haywan raced to the jeep and grabbed the white bag from under the tarp, and I carried Becca over to the car. Cat cleared the passenger seat of debris, and I gently placed Becca down while I kept her injured leg elevated. She snatched my shoulder so I couldn't let go of her, though, and I knelt beside the Jeep while I kept Becca in my arms.
"We need to clean it first,"
Cat said.
"Right here."
Haywan passed her the hydrogen peroxide from Matthew's supplies.
"I've got wipes to start." "Okay, this is going to sting like a bitch,"
the soldier warned, and I held Becca's hand tightly. Haywan hurried around beside me with the antiseptic wipe she had left, and she wiped the blood away from the untorn skin around the wound. Becca's brown eyes widened as Cat leaned in with the bottle of hydrogen peroxide and held it over her leg.
"You can do this. I've got you," I murmured in Becca's ear,
and then Cat poured liquid down the wound until it ran onto the Jeep floor. Becca's eyes watered, and she squeezed my hand so tightly I thought she might break a finger, but she didn't scream. I knew she was being quiet to not draw any more attention to us, and I pulled her even tighter against me to help her get through the pain.
"Shit!"
she finally squeaked. "You're so fucking brave," I praised her as the sting of the peroxide soaked in.
"I want sex,"
Becca whimpered.
"Sex is so much better than this. Will you give me all the sex after this?"
Absolutely, I promised. "Just as soon as this is handled, I'll do anything you want." Becca managed a teary laugh while Haywan joined in, and Cat pulled the bandages out of the medical bag before she began tightly wrapping Becca's leg. The cut went right from her knee to her ankle, and it used up all of the bandages we had been given at the aquarium. Cat secured the dressing tightly with Haywan's help, but there was already a stain of blood that seeped through the white cloth.
"I don't feel so good,"
Becca whispered, and her eyes started to close. "Stay awake, Becca," I said, as my heart leapt into my throat, and I squeezed her hand, but she didn't squeeze back. Cat quickly reached down under her driver's seat and pulled out a bottle of water. She unscrewed the lid and threw some into the Brit's face. It worked, and Becca's eyes shot open again.
"Oi!"
the Brit yelped.
"Stay awake,"
the corporal said.
"That's an order."
"Sir, yes, sir,"
Becca snorted, and I smiled as Cat nodded back. Haywan pulled her phone out beside me, and I saw her pull up her GPS app. Then Cat held her hand out to me and gestured toward my rifle, and I shifted the strap off my shoulder.
"I'll handle the reloads while we've got a second,"
the soldier offered. She collected all our rifles and brought them around the back of the Jeep, and I listened to the reassuring chinks of the loading mechanisms while I stared at Haywan's fingers tapping across her phone.
"There's a hospital in Scarborough,"
the Korean girl finally announced.
"It's not far, about a 20-minute drive, dino's permitting."
"We need to go," I decided. "Now. Leave Becca's bike behind. All that matters is that we get to the hospital as fast as possible."
"I agree,"
Kat said, and she traded Haywan a loaded rifle for her GPS. Then she mounted it on the dashboard and handed me my SA-80.
"I'm going to start driving. Follow behind me and cover for me if necessary."
"I will," I promised. I gave Becca's cheek a kiss, and I shifted her to a more comfortable position. Then I turned away to run over to my motorcycle, but as I settled into my seat, I saw Cat shove her stuffed shark into Becca's arms. I couldn't help grinning at Becca's teary chuckle. Even with her leg torn open, the blonde Brit was still making me smile, and I swallowed down the knot of tension in my throat. My engine was started less than 5 seconds later, and Cat's Jeep tore off through the town with me and Haywan right behind her. I looked over at Haywan, and her face was drained of all color and expression. The Korean beauty just stared straight ahead, and neither of us spoke as we followed the Jeep to the hospital. I glanced at the sky and checked my side mirror as we drove, but it seemed there weren't any more immediate threats in the town. There were signs that pointed us to the hospital, and I hoped there was someone there who would help. Even if the hospital was abandoned, surely there would be some supplies left behind to stitch up Becca's wound. I knew Kat would do anything she could to help if she had to. We just needed to get her the supplies. The roads were mostly quiet for the drive as we raced as fast as our vehicles would allow. There were more bodies on the street as we passed a small shopping mall, and I assumed there was some kind of dino that lived inside, but I didn't even spare the building a glance. The hospital came into view as we turned a corner through an intersection, and I couldn't see any signs of life around the large buildings. As we got closer, it looked like all of the lights were off inside, and there were only two ambulances abandoned in the parking lot. We kept up our speed and drove right up to the hospital entrance, and all our tires squealed as we finally came to a stop. I jumped off my bike and hurried over to the Jeep as Kat turned the engine off. Becca's eyes were still open, but I could tell she was starting to drift off, and the bandage around her leg was soaked with blood. She was still clutching the stuffed shark, and she left an adorable kiss on the thing's head before she set it aside and let me scoop her up into my arms.
"Jason, I want one of those,"
Becca murmured.
"He's a cutie."
"I'll get you 10, I panted as I sprinted for the entrance.
"I want a baby, too,"
she sighed.
"With you. Can we have babies soon? Please?"
"Anything you want, love." I bit my bottom lip and blinked away a few tears.
"I've got the door,"
Haywan gasped ahead of me. "Lock the Jeep," I hollered over my shoulder.
"Already done,"
Kat assured me. Then I noticed the glass doors had thin fabric draped from the ceiling like the aquarium, and my heart leapt as I realized there must be people inside.
"Hello?"
Haywan called out as she tried to yank the door open, but it was locked. The Korean started hammering on the glass with both fists.
"Open the door, please! We need help out here!"
"If they don't reply in 5 seconds, we're driving through this fucking glass entrance," I said, as I watched Becca's eyelids flutter again.
"Psst,"
a voice hissed.
"This way."
We swung around to see a middle-aged woman with fiery red hair near a thick row of shrubs. She had her head poked out of an emergency exit some 10 yards away, and she beckoned for us to come in. "Holy shit, thank you," I gasped, and ran over to her, and the woman held the door open wide for us as she checked the surroundings. Once we were inside, the woman shut the door and immediately shone a small light at Becca's face and checked her pupils.
"Hello, sweetie. Let's keep your eyes open,"
the woman cooed in a gentle tone, and I could tell she'd said this same thing 100 times in her life. She was a professional, and she was wearing pale pink scrubs. There was a low murmur of voices nearby, and I could see we were in a small wing of the hospital. There was a low reception desk beside us, and light came out of the 6 rooms on either side of the white hallway. "She needs stitches," I explained hurriedly to the woman. "Please, she got hit by a dino claw. It's torn her whole calf open."
"Right this way,"
the woman said, and promptly led us to the nearest open room. We piled inside to see there were 4 beds, and 2 of them were occupied by sleeping men. A younger woman was folding bedsheets, and she dropped them the moment she saw Becca. Then the older woman in the pink scrubs helped me lay Becca down on the bed closest to the door, and I clung to her limp hand.
"What's her name?"
the red-haired nurse asked. "Becca," I answered.
"She needs to be cleaned up and stitched,"
the older nurse instructed, and the younger woman hurried out of the door.
"Becca, honey? Becca, I need you to stay awake for me, okay? Can you tell me when your birthday is?" "6.
Becca mumbled, and her eyes closed again.
"Jason's cock is so... yum."
I felt my face heat up as the nurse sent me a quizzical look. "Becca, wake up," I muttered. "Sex later. Right now you need to..." Kat reached a hand out and lightly smacked the Brit a few times on the face, and this managed to jolt her awake again.
"That's hardly protocol,"
the nurse sighed.
"Work, though,"
Kat shrugged. Then the younger woman appeared in the doorway. She hurried over with a silver platter that held the medical needle, thread, rubbing alcohol, a syringe, gauze, and a white cloth.
"I'm Mary, by the way,"
the redhead said.
"This is Emmy. We'll get her stitched up, but I'm going to ask you 3 to wait outside and give us some space."
"But," I began.
"Now,"
Mary said firmly, and I dropped Becca's hand as we were ushered out into the hall. Haywan gripped my hand instead as Mary closed the door, and the 3 of us stood silent in the dim corridor for a moment. "Fuck," I finally breathed. "That was a huge slice to her leg."
"She's going to be okay, Jason,"
Kat said gently. "That was too fucking close," I muttered, as the lump returned to my throat. "She could have..."
"But she didn't,"
the soldier cut in.
"That girl is made of steel. She's not going to give up. She'll be back with us before you know it. Yeah, she's too pissed to let that big-ass dino get the best of her."
"That's true," I allowed. I couldn't say much more because my throat was closing up, and I knew that Becca had lost so much blood. She had been bleeding for almost 30 minutes.
"Let's sit down,"
Haywan said, and she must have realized I was prepared to stay 6 inches from the door for as long as I had to. Then the Korean gently tugged me along and toward the plastic chairs against the wall. The hospital smelled of crisp lemon bleach, and there were beeps of various machines coming from the other rooms. A few people in scrubs hurried past and barely gave us a second look as they went from room to room.
I guess the power is working then,
Haewon observed.
The machines and room lights are on. I wouldn't like to know what happens if a hospital's power goes off,
Kat sighed.
I mean, I know what would happen, but let's not bother thinking about it.
Generators, I mumbled, as I stared down at the sparkling white floor. Kat reached over and stroked my back a few times, and Haewon started doing the same with my hair. I did my best to look completely fine, but I knew the two girls could see right through me. Becca was at the forefront of my mind, and I was counting the seconds in my head so I could decide when was an appropriate time to knock on the room door and check how things were going. Then the door to Becca's room swung open, and Emmy poked her head out.
She's all stitched up,
the young nurse announced.
Still a bit drowsy, but she's going to be absolutely fine.
There wasn't too much blood lost? I asked, and jumped up to hurry over.
I've got so much blood,
Becca giggled from inside, and the young nurse grinned.
She's a little lightheaded from the blood loss,
Emmy explained as she led us all into the room.
But I've given her a few biscuits, and she's on a bit of an IV drip to bring her blood pressure up. I'd say she'll perk up soon. I know the cut looked bad, but it really wasn't too detrimental. We're not recommending a transfusion.
You can do that? I asked. You have enough supplies?
Yes, but, as I said, it's not necessary,
the young nurse reiterated.
You got her here in good time. You did well.
Becca's golden hair was everywhere, and she was sprawled out like a beautiful starfish on the bed. Her injured leg was propped up on a few pillows, and a clean dressing was neatly applied to the stitches while her hand had an IV drip taped to it. I was at her side in three long strides, and I covered her groggy lips in kisses before I locked her free hand in mine.
Jason,
Becca giggled.
Remind me to get injured more often. You sure know how to make a girl feel doted on.
Oh, I'm not done doting on you yet, I muttered quietly against her lips. My entire body felt lighter as I watched her beautiful face blush for me, and her brown eyes met mine.
You are so handsome.
You are beautiful. I love you. But don't scare me like that again.
So what exactly happened?
Mary asked, as she checked that the dressing was pressed on tightly. I glanced at the other two patients in the room, and they were both fast asleep, so I tried to speak softly as I held Becca's hand. We ran into two Spinosauruses, I answered.
Becca took a shot at one, and it fell on her,
Haewon added, as she brushed Becca's hair from her face.
Its talon ripped her leg. Lucky girl,
Mary sighed.
That sounds like it could have been a lot worse. Have you lot traveled far?
From Cambridge, I said. Kat joined from Peterborough, but the rest of us were students when this all kicked off.
How have you survived?
Emmy asked as she started checking the sleeping patient's temperatures.
That's so far away.
Jason's American, so he's pretty much the ultimate dino fighter.
Haewon grinned and shifted her rifle strap on her shoulder.
We make a pretty good team.
Are you trained?
Emmy asked, and her eyes flickered down at my biceps.
Soldiers?
Well, Kat is, I said. Haewon's basically a Korean superhero. Becca's a natural-born badass, and I guess I just hit the jackpot in finding them. Haewon and Kat grinned at me, and I winked at my lovers as the atmosphere lightened with every little smile from Becca.
Why travel so far?
Mary asked.
You're just kids. You shouldn't be out there fighting those things.
We're going to Becca's mom, I replied. She's in Ravenscar, so we're close. It's been a long journey, though. Things are getting bad out there. The two nurses nodded and glanced at the sleeping patients.
Were you here when the attack started?
Kat asked.
We met some medical staff who set up a camp in the Hull Aquarium. They looked tired as hell.
Yeah, we heard about that.
Mary nodded as she stifled a yawn.
I feel for them, trying to run a hospital in that place. I would rather be with my family, but I'm glad to be helping in whatever small way I can.
You saved her, I said as I sobered. Nothing about that was small. It means the world to us. The older nurse smiled in response, and her eyes glistened a little.
They're getting worse,
Emmy said.
The attacks. I did a food run with one of the doctors the other day, and we saw a nest. There were eggs the size of me inside.
We've seen those too, I nodded. It seems like they're becoming more territorial because of their young, which means a new level of danger for all of us.
I want to try and get to my sister,
Emmy said.
But she lives in London, and I have no way to find out if she's even okay. Not being able to contact people is horrendous. It is.
Becca agreed, but then I noticed she was slurring again. The nurses noticed too, and Mary fluffed her pillow with a light tisk sound.
You'll need to rest, dearie,
Mary said firmly.
I think we should let you have a little lie down in peace. Fresh biscuits are right here beside the bed.
Thank you, guys,
Becca said as she shuffled back down on the pillow.
You saved me.
I leaned down and gave the beautiful blonde another kiss, and she let her tongue flick against my bottom lip before she closed her eyes again. We'll be back, I promised, and followed Kat and Haywan into the corridor.
So, you're a soldier,
Emmy said as she looked down at Kat's camel pants and boots.
Amir's brother is as well.
She pointed to a man who had sat down on one of the plastic chairs with a clipboard. He looked Middle Eastern, with thinning hair and blood splattered on his white coat.
I think the brother's in Scampton,
the young nurse added.
Anyway, I need to go check on some of the other patients, but I'll see you around.
Emmy hurried off to another room, and I walked over to the man on the seats. Hey, I said. Are you Amir? That's me. The man smiled as he looked up from his clipboard. Can I help you with anything? I'm Jason, I replied. This is Haywan and Kat. Our friend Becca is being treated at the moment. Emmy said that your brother works at the airbase in Scampton? That's right, Amir nodded. We actually went there on our motorcycles, I said. Just a few days ago, we had to deliver this briefcase. It was a whole long story, but I guess we might have met him.
Oh, yeah, Amir said as he studied us. My brother told me about you guys. You came in on motorbikes and shot down some dinosaurs.
He told you?
Haywan asked with a furrowed brow.
What do you mean? Is he here now?
No, Amir shook his head. He told me over our satellite phones.
I blinked in shock. You're what?